This is Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service, and today we're at the Mason, Ohio transmitter site of WLW Cincinnati, the nation's station. We're chatting with Paul Jellison, Regional Engineering Services Manager for Clear Channel Communications. Paul actually makes his home here at the transmitter site, in furnished quarters adjacent to the WLW transmitter building. Now, in future columns, we're going to explore the WLW transmitters and talk about the 500,000-watt transmitter WLW operated in the 1930s. For now, because this is so topical, we want to focus on WLW's recent participation in the in-band on-channel, or rather, I guess we should say in-band adjacent channel, digital broadcast tests. We wanted to secure Paul's opinion on the merits of IBOC from his participation in the tests at WLW 700.
Yes, in-band on-channel, yes. We, WLW did some, has done two series of tests with Ubiquiti, and I'm, be quite honest, not real thrilled with what I've seen as of yet. I think it's probably going to kill the skywave coverage of the station, and that doesn't seem to make a lot of difference to certain people. But I know that it has not gone unnoted, that the problems it causes, and I'm a little concerned with what's going to happen to the AM band if IBOC comes into full being. Even in daytime, there's going to be stations that are 20 kilohertz away from another one that is going to be causing problems.
Let's separate you from your position at Clear Channel and just talk to you as an engineer, because I think that's probably a better thing.
Yeah.
And we're getting your opinion as an engineer, not as a Clear Channel employee.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And you know, I think from reading some of the bulletin boards, that there's a lot of concern about adjacent channel interference from this test and from WOR.
Absolutely.
Is it real?
Oh, yeah, it's real. I mean, if you look at it, you know, if you look at it with a spectrum analyzer, the problem is there's a mask that you're allowed that was...
The famous NRSC.
Yeah, the NRSC mask says that you have to be down so many dB and out at a certain distance. And if you're running an analog audio, you know, a standard AM modulated station, even running high density, heavily compressed modulation, you are going, you know, and running the right filtering, you're going to be down at a specific level. The problem is the DAB carriers, from what I've seen, is the DAB carriers are constant at an injection level, and they are a constant hiss, whether somebody's saying something or not. And that is what, and even though it meets the NRSC mask, that's what the problem is. The other problem is the major problem right there.
So statistically, it is valid if you just took a snapshot of that energy at any given moment. And if I recall, that's what the NRSC curve was built on, was a statistical average of energy that was going to be out there, X amount of kilohertz from the carrier. What you're saying is because this digital energy is there all the time,
yes,
it upsets that whole...
Yes, yes.
So maybe the mask has to be redesigned.
The mask is an analog mask.
Right.
Was never designed to have the digital carrier imposed in there. I think that, I think it's going to kill or severely limit skywave coverage. It's basically going to take everything back to where if you don't have a city grade signal, i.e. 25 millivolts per meter, you're going to suffer ill consequences from your adjacent channel station.
What, and you told me earlier you've got dozens of stations you're responsible for, presumably of all power levels. What are the advantages of IBOC to a WLW 50,000 watts or a 1 kilowatt or class 4?
Well, obviously the improvement in quality is going, you know, people that listen to radio they don't understand what they're hearing. All they know is that FM sounds better than AM. They don't care why, they don't know why. Frankly, it's not their business to know why. But they know. So the digital audio being transmitted on the AM spectrum will be better. Quite honestly, some of that is the fault of the radio manufacturers, because I've got a radio in my office that, listening to WSAI playing music in wideband mode, sounds almost every bit as good as an FM station. So a lot of it has to do with the fact that the radio manufacturers have clamped the AM radios down to where they won't respond to adjacent channel.
To get rid of noise.
Yes. Yeah. And we all know that the AM band is a poorly designed band. It was never designed for the modulation levels or the number of stations that are on the band. The ideal thing to do would be to throw the band out and start over. That would never fly.
So for a station like WLW, that is a talk station that delivers an incredibly solid, high-fidelity, admittedly mono signal, what are the advantages of digital for you?
Well, the advantages will be, I think, it will give the latest gadget freak, you know, something to hang his hat on. From a quality standpoint, it'll actually be a degradation, because the analog product is going to be band limited to 5 kilohertz. And the reason you band limit your audio to 5 kilohertz is to make room for the digital carriers.
So you're saying that your presumably now 8 or 9 kilohertz of audio,
yeah,
is going to be limited to 5. So immediately you're going to do a disservice to the existing listener base.
To somebody with a wideband radio. But now, that being said, I drive a 99 Jeep Cherokee. When we went to Eibach, I got in my Jeep and I drove to lunch that evening, and the guys were here working on the Eibach, and I finally said, guys, I've got to go eat, I'll be back in a little bit. And when I came back, they had the signal on the air, and listening in my Jeep, you couldn't tell a difference.
Okay.
Because the radio is already so band limited.
Right.
So it's yeah, people with the right radio are definitely going to hear a hiss, both on under the actual analog signal. With a wideband radio, you will hear the hiss. A tunable radio, yes, you'll probably hear the hiss, especially if you're not tuned right on channel.
Right.
Those are some of the drawbacks. The pluses are, once there is an established base of radio listeners, the quality of the signal will be on par with FM. Now, obviously, we're a talker. There are, it wouldn't mean that much to us. The other interesting thing is the coverage area that the Eibach signal, the actual amount of power that you need to cover the same distance, is significantly less than the analog.
So once you can remove the analog carrier, as it were, you think you can, with the same amount of RF, you can get out farther than you are with analog?
If it ever comes to the point to where they decide to shut off analog and go straight digital, and they could center that stuff up on channel and go more like the Radio Mondial type arrangement, then I think we would have a superior product. Because you wouldn't have the fading issues, the sky fading issues. You would either have audio or you wouldn't. It would either be there or gone,
right.
On or off, which is your typical digital way of doing things. The problem is in the transition period. I just don't know what's going to come of the transition period.
You were showing me the mask.
Yeah, this is a mask. This is the station running Eibach. And you can see, here's your analog signal, and out here at 5 kilohertz where it would normally drop off, you've got these, and you can see the audio is continuously dropping in level. Well, the mask comes out here and says you have to be down so far, which, yes, it is, and it meets it.
Yep.
But the problem is that signal is there constant.
That's continuous energy.
And that's
yep.
the hiss that everybody hears.
Yep.
And it's sort of hard to visualize a spectrum analyzer plot on a...
So is the Eibach carrier from 5 kilohertz to 10 kilohertz out
yes.
on both sides?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I can go out either side out to 5 kilohertz, and that'll be my analog audio. And then from 5 kilohertz to 10 kilohertz are these two digital carriers, and
correct.
That's what everybody's hearing.
Yes, yes.
And so you, to keep the analog from interfering with the digital, you have to filter very steeply the audio at 5 kilohertz.
That's our audio filtered at 5 kilohertz. And you can see there's 700, there's 705. And as you can see, those hammer off incredible. Okay, then here is the signal running an IBOC carrier. You see, we're still within the mask.
Yep.
Got to be 25 dB down, which it is. But it is, you know, a constant.
What would you say then to the people who are writing in saying, I'm listening to the tests on WOR and WLW, and they're going to destroy the band with this hash that we hear everywhere?
Keep it up, literally.
Keep commenting?
Keep commenting. It's their band as much as it is anybody else's. I think there are some things that need addressed with the nighttime coverage, be it reduced injection levels. That's one of the things we're looking at, is reducing that digital injection level. I mean, I want a good product, but not at the cost of the band. I think thanks to a couple people, one of them being Randy Michaels, even though a lot of people will shudder at this. I think he's probably been one of the best things to ever happen to AEM in the last 20 years. You know, he knew the band, he understood what's going on, and there's a lot of AEM stations that would still be losing money if it wasn't for him. So, I know that we want to move to the next level, but we also don't want to blow our toe off in the process.
Paul Jellison, Regional Engineering Services Manager for Clear Channel Communications. His comments on IBOC as we know it today. In future columns, we'll tour the famous WLW transmitters. For now, a reminder that we take mail at mark@durenberger.com. durenberger.com. Till next month, good listening, DXers.